So, comrades, I think that 1 year on from last year's conference, we can honestly say that we have made progress. Earlier, we heard from Jerry Granger, and Jerry outlined the organisational progress that we have made in the past year and the things that we have achieved. But we still have a long way to go. And sometimes things have not happened as quickly as we would have liked, but there is no doubt that there is a spring in the step of the party in Northern Ireland. Our profile has been much more visible, our activities have been focused and meaningful, and it has produced results in terms of new members and new branches of the party. Over the past year, we have extended our presence and activity to areas of Northern Ireland where we have not been for many years. Derry City, Strabane, North Armagh, more growth in North Antrim and South Derry, and at the Jordanstown campus of the University of Ulster. And of course, we have been consolidating our position in Belfast and reaching out to parts of the city where we have not traditionally been present. And I'm glad to say that many of the new members from those areas are with us here today, and they're very welcome. And we can be pleased with that progress, but not content. Last year, we made a pledge that we would be in a position to participate in the next elections with a view to securing representation for the Workers' Party. And that remains our goal, and 1 year on, we are moving towards that. That we have succeeded in attracting new people to the ranks of the party has been because of the relevance of our programme, and that politically, we offer the only viable alternative to the consensus politics of the Stormont parties. Many people have recognised the consistent political path adopted by our party over many years and have come to realise that much of what we have been saying has come to pass. But equally, many people recognise that there are issues out there which are adversely impacting on households and families on a daily basis. Appeals to the past, the emotive calling up of centenaries, whether it be the Covenant, Home Rule or the Easter Rising, have little to offer the unemployed, those in poverty, the homeless, or anyone seeking to build a better future. There is a line in that great Paul Grady song, The Island, where he sings of the futility of those who are trying to carve a future from the tombstones of the past. And we should do well to think about that. The theme of our conference this year, comrades, is Northern Ireland deserves better. But we as a party will only grow bigger and stronger if we present to the people a programme that is relevant to their needs, one that can and will deliver the better future the people of Northern Ireland deserve. It is good that we have made a start here today with the papers that are being presented that address the issues of housing, education, and later we'll hear about tax, the environment, and of course our panel discussion this afternoon, which will focus on youth unemployment, health and so-called welfare reform. We must develop and expand on these in the coming year, leading to policy papers which present proposals and solutions in these areas. And our organisational development, which Jerry talked about, must go hand in hand with our political development if we are to be successful in winning seats at the next elections. In the coming year, there are a number of things which we must prioritise and work on in this regard, and there are four which I want to highlight. One is sectarianism. Secondly, defeat the moves to lower corporation tax. Thirdly, the reform of the political institutions. And lastly, building left cooperation. Sectarianism remains a cancer at the heart of Northern Ireland society. For as long as it is institutionalised and mirrored in the very fabric of society, then it will not be possible to break the political mould and free people from the straitjacket of unionism and nationalism. We heard this morning how over 90% of housing is still segregated, of how 90% of school children attend school every day without ever encountering anyone from the other side. Many will piously agree that this is a terrible state of affairs altogether, and may even make noises that something must be done. Yet what do they propose to do? Very little, as it happens. The DUP Sinn Féin coalition have set on the strategy for cohesion, sharing and integration. ignoring what they were told during the consultation process, namely that people want to live together as a united and integrated community. All manner of academic studies have told us that this is so. The DUP and Sinn Féin do not want integration because it is not in their political interest to do so. Their political survival depends on the continuation of the them and us mentality, of separate existence, and the maintenance of outdated myths that often pass off as culture. It must be our task to unlock the sectarian stranglehold that suffocates real political debate and discussion, that relegates real scrutiny of things like welfare reform in preference to parades, flags and emblems. Did you notice how Sinn Féin were not prepared to upset the DUP over welfare reform, but were willing to bring the Assembly down over policing? I will say more about the political institutions later, but sectarianism and its manifestations in society must be tackled if we are to have a better future. The Workers' Party must push this issue at all times and highlight how much of an anachronism it really is. There are examples every day of how this can be done. The so-called peace walls are a constant reminder of division. We are told that people are not yet ready to take them down. Not something we would readily agree with, but in any case, is this a reason for doing nothing? There are many examples in Belfast of where the walls do not separate homes, but territory. Examples of walls which have been environmentally enhanced so they do not even look like peace walls. Main thoroughfares like Northumberland Street or Lanark Way were once bus routes united people. Why can't these barriers come down immediately and so send a message that we are real about ending division? Another area which we've just discussed is integrated education. Whatever the arguments about it, about why it cannot happen, why is it in the 21st century that our teacher training colleges, the only sector of third level education, are still segregated on sectarian lines? And fair employment legislation, introduced to outlaw and punish discrimination, still allows an exemption in relation to the appointment of teachers to our schools. Ending these practices, which have passed their sell-by dates, must be a priority for the party in the coming year. And secondly, the issue of corporation tax. It has been clear to all of us that the Assembly has no economic vision, no plan or strategy as to how jobs can be created and our economic future secured, other than to plead for a lowering of corporation tax. It is a deeply flawed approach. The argument is advanced that it is a barrier to inward investment, that it worked wonders for the southern economy, and it will lead to more jobs here. They are wrong on all counts. Not only are they wrong in practical terms, but for us as a workers' party and for the working class, it is wrong from a class perspective. In the first instance, and only for practicalities, I need only quote the former economic envoy to Northern Ireland on behalf of Hillary Clinton, Declan Kelly, who on the record stated the corporation tax was not an issue for American firms seeking to invest in Europe. And secondly, many reputable economists in the South, such as Task and Michael Taft, have contradicted the claim that it lay at the heart of economic development in the South. And thirdly, there is no evidence that it creates jobs. Take two major examples this week alone from the UK. Google and Facebook, well known to you all. Both have located their European headquarters in Dublin to avail of lower corporation tax than that in the UK. Far from creating jobs in the South, it is merely a paper move with a skeleton office and a skeleton staff designed purely for accountancy purposes. Nor is it true that they even pay the 12.5% tax rate in the South. Again, Michael Taft and Task have shown that most foreign multinationals and native companies pay far less than that in practice. And it is famously known that Ryanair in 1 year paid no tax at all. But we don't even have to lower the rate, because if we say they don't pay it anyway, and Starbucks has been exposed this week as doing just that. Even though the rate of corporation tax is 24%, we now know that Starbucks in the past 3 years paid no tax at all, not a single penny, on $3 billion turnover in the past 3 years. And that in spite of the fact that corporation tax exists at a rate of 24% in the UK. And that is because they employ all manner of accountancy mechanisms to avoid doing that. Perfectly legal, but immoral. And we'll hear more about tax avoidance later this morning. That demonstrates the poverty of thinking from the Assembly parties that they hitch their wagon to the issue of corporation tax. What's more, one party in that Assembly claims to be a socialist party doing this. If the Assembly choose to pick a fight with the Treasury, it should have been done to protect the sick, the disabled, the unemployed, and those on housing benefit, not the rich and the powerful. It should have rejected the welfare reform bill, but it didn't. And thirdly, comrades, we should indeed have some reform. Reform of the political institutions at Stormont themselves. At the time of the Good Friday Agreement, many, including ourselves, expressed the view that sectarian division would be institutionalised in the complex methods and structures of governance which were adopted. And this is in fact what has happened. All of these measures, designating as unionist and nationalist, mandatory coalition, parallel majority voting, petitions of concern, etc., they were all adopted as measures to prevent the abuse of power and discrimination. They would be subject to review, it was said, and change as peace was consolidated and the institutions matured. Whatever about the maturity of the institutions, peace has been consolidated, and there can be no argument now for the maintenance of the present structures. Not only are they outdated, but they act as a block to political development and change. It is ludicrous. At a recent meeting that Kevin McNally and I attended in East Belfast, there were two MLAs present, one DUP and one Sinn Féin. Both, and I do happen to believe that they were sincere, agreed with us on almost everything, including welfare reform and corporation tax. Yet when it was pointed out to them that their party ministers were implementing these things, they simply had no answer. And this is an example of why we need institutional reform to end the two all-class alliances of unionism and nationalism. And lastly, comrades, I want to say something about left cooperation. There has always existed a proud Labour tradition in Northern Ireland. At one time, it had a political voice in the Northern Ireland Labour Party. Whilst the NILP was a casualty of the outpouring of sectarianism in the early 70s, the trade union movement took up the mantle of representation with a small p. More than that, it was a beacon of anti-sectarianism and workers' unity and solidarity in the workplace. We owe a debt of gratitude to people like Billy Blease, Andy Barr, Terry Carlin and Tom Gillen, and the outspoken shop stewards and trade union activists in the workplace who kept the banner of anti-sectarianism and workers' unity flying in those dark days. Today in Northern Ireland, there are many thousands of people in the trade unions and left political groupings who identify themselves as being on the left and as socialists. Indeed, they have been on the march literally in Belfast today, protesting against austerity and the cuts. We as a Workers' Party need to communicate and cooperate with all those people. We have been doing so already, and that is true, and Jerry has referred to May Day in particular and spoken about that earlier. And I would endorse this call that May Day must become the biggest single political event in the calendar of the Workers' Party. But we must do more. We must play our part in developing a cohesive, principled and effective socialist constituency which challenges not only the limitations of the Assembly at Stormont, but a constituency which creates a space for political activists of the left. The world is a much smaller place today, and awareness of political debate, particularly the future of the left, the challenges to capitalism, the development of socialist theory and practice, and exchange of views on all these issues is all around us. Our own party publication, Look Left, has played a big part in this locally. Today, we propose to go further with this and develop a Look Left forum open to all serious and principled individuals and organisations concerned with the advancement of progressive and socialist views. Already a number of people active in public life have indicated a willingness to be part of this project, and we will be in a position very soon to host a number of public events under the aegis of Look Left around Northern Ireland. And I know that our comrades from North Armagh are very anxious that they would be the first to host one of these. Also, comrades, I want to speak very briefly in relation to an electoral intervention by the left in future elections. Prior to the last assembly elections, we had written to all the left groups suggesting a meeting to explore the possibility on an agreed electoral intervention. It was not possible then, largely for reasons of time. However, we believe that the next European election could provide an opportunity for an agreed candidate of the left. And let's be clear about this. We are under no illusions about this at all. We do not see this proposal as a magic wand or even a guarantee of election success. We know the left comes from different backgrounds and traditions, as indeed we do ourselves. But such an electoral intervention in a European election provides an opportunity to give a momentum to socialist and Labour politics in Northern Ireland. We will be writing to people about this, and we would ask that it is given serious consideration, just as it is offered as a serious and sincere proposal. In conclusion, comrades, it is the task of the Workers' Party in Northern Ireland to promote anti-sectarianism, build workers' unity, and give hope to working class people that a better future is possible. They deserve better than what we have today. Let us ensure that our deliberations here today go some way to achieving those aims.